global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Catherine Cowdery. Wall Street closed mixed and little changed. Stocks rose after minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting signaled that policymakers will raise interest rates gradually. Apple contributed the most to the S&P 500's advance. It gained for a seventh straight session, its longest winning streak in nearly 2 years. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. Dow Industrial Average up 15 points, a tenth of a percent, to close at 18,144. S&P 500 up 2 points, a tenth of a percent, to 2139. The NASDAQ fell 8 points, an eighth of a percent, and closed at 5239. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 67 cents a barrel, 1.3%, to $50.11. Spot gold up 30 cents an ounce, to $12.56.20. 10-year Treasury down 2/32 with a yield of 1.77%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Over to you, Carolyn Corey.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. The commercial real estate market is on more solid ground than you might think. That's according to Rani Mulla. She's columnist for Bloomberg Gadfly. She says the evidence is in cap rates, the ratios of properties' income to their price.
Those have been pushed pretty low, and yet there's still a lot of demand for these commercial real estate properties.
Mulla says that's because borrowing costs are so low.
If you look at the spread between the cap rates and the interest rates or the 10-year treasuries back in 2006 and 2007, the spread's much smaller than it is right now. So there is room for further compression of prices.
And Mulla says another reason commercial real estate might be more stable now than before the 2008 financial crisis, in spite of current record high prices, is that banks are more conservative in the way they lend to commercial real estate developers. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
This is Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
That's right. The OJs were playing Love Train in 1972 when Franklin Gehry heard the song and said, "I want to be the CFO of CSX." And now Lenegro has fulfilled that dream and is reporting third quarter earnings. Frank, we're glad to have you on. Were you truly inspired by the OJs to get into the business?
Absolutely, Corey, absolutely.
There's no better reason. Okay, so you guys just reported a quarter. Stock's up a little bit after hours, so it's generally received well. But there's an interesting trend going on in your industry right now, which is that for whatever reason, and I'll have you explain, the trucks are stealing some business from the train business in terms of intermodal transportation, and I wonder what's going on there.
Well, there's some soft capacity in the trucking market, just given where overall GDP and IDP have been for the last year or so. But if you look at our domestic intermodal business over the last decade, we have grown it in excess of GDP. And so this temporal period of softness really doesn't change our bullishness on domestic intermodal long term. So we expect that confidence to continue as we get into 2017 and beyond. So I wouldn't look too much into this soft patch right now, especially as you think about the secular changes that we believe are going to drive that highway to rail conversion. When you think about, the turnover in the drivers, the regulatory impacts on trucking, higher fuel prices projected longer term. So we're still bullish on domestic intermodal and believe this is just a little soft place that we'll get through fairly quickly as we get into 2017.
You know, Frank, investors seem to agree. I'm looking at your stock in the after hours. It's up more than 2%. So they don't seem to be, at least investors don't seem to be worried. You say it's just kind of a temporary short patch, but I don't need to tell you. You guys have been kind of unwinding your exposure to coal and so on and so forth. It's been kind of a long process as well. These things, though, whether it's cheaper trucking or whatever, can take a while to kind of work out. How long do you think, you know, cheaper trucking might persist here?
You know, our view on the trucking side is that as we get into the middle of next year, we ought to see some tightening on the trucking side, especially as the electronic logging device mandate is requiring them to be equipped by the end of next year. And we also, I think, are going to see some GDP and IDP growth next year. So the combination of some shrink on the supply side as well as some increase on the demand side ought to tighten that up as we get into the back half of next year.
So, interestingly, you guys, in terms of CapEx, I know that there was a time when you were spending a lot of money on sort of upgrading safety across your entire, all of your lines, and obviously it's still a concern. But I wonder how much you're looking at CapEx generally, number one, and number two, investing in switching yards and the ability to double stack more.
Well, on the double stack piece, Corey, to your good point, we continue to invest through the National Gateway Initiative, which is in essence clearing double-stack routes into the Mid-Atlantic. And then we also are working on a very important tunnel in the southern part of Washington, D.C., called the Virginia Avenue Tunnel, which has been a bottleneck for us. And we're going to create a double-stack route through there by the end of this year, and we'll have it both double-tracked and double-stacked by the end of next year. So that's an important thing for us to continue to invest in clearing those routes, because the point you make about making sure that the profitability of the intermodal business continues to grow, especially as coal continues to decline, it's important for us to make sure the economics of that highway-to-rail conversion continues to make sense for us long-term, and some of these investments are absolutely going to do that for us.
What big macro ideas out there, Frank, kind of keep you up at night?
Well, the economy clearly is one of the things we continue to keep tabs on. We'd like to see a solid, you know, 3-ish percent on the GDP side and 2-ish percent on the IDP side. You know, some of the numbers that we're seeing for next year are a little bit short of that, but 2% on GDP and a percent or so on IDP would be positive. It just wouldn't be the type of growth that will really help the American economy to keep going.
Interesting stuff, too. Are you seeing any slowdown? We've been talking to a handful of retail analysts, if not the retailers themselves, and they're talking a little bit about sort of imagining Christmas orders, thinking ahead of the holiday season and how they're going to build up inventory, and that the notion of volatility, of not really knowing how the election is going to play out, might be restricting how much they're willing to order for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think it's probably more some retail overhang just on the inventory side than it is the election. I mean, people are still going to go out and holiday shop, you know, for their families and for their friends. So, you know, we're expecting a fairly normal season as we get into the back half of the year around the holidays. We're seeing, you know, some normal peaking of holiday forward shipments as we get into, you know, October, November, December, which is generally when those happen. Even when you bring in things like e-commerce, it still has to be forward positioned over the long haul from the point of origin to very close to consumption. So we participate in that one as well.
Hey, how upbeat are you, though, that in terms of committing new money to projects at this point, capital expenditures? It's been a long story where we, you know, we don't see companies kind of investing in the businesses. Instead, they'd rather do a buyback or issue a dividend. I'm just curious where you guys are in terms of allocating money towards projects.
Sure. We have a balanced deployment of capital. The first thing we invest our money in is capital expenditures. Obviously, we have to reinvest in the track infrastructure and the equipment. But the next big thing is really looking at return-seeking investments. And what you'll see as we turn the page into 2017 is we're actually going to expand the amount of CapEx that we put into return-seeking investments, because we do think we have some good projects out there that are going to be accretive to earnings.
Such as?
Well, again, the double stacking, we'll continue to do that. We're going to inflect our investments and increase the amount of money that we put into technology to continue along what we call the CSX of Tomorrow strategy. And a couple of the key aspects of that are the network of tomorrow, so making sure that we're able to run a very efficient, very fluid railroad. A highly automated railroad is a big part of the CSX of Tomorrow, so making sure that we're ever more efficient through capital investments in technology. And then making sure that in the service-sensitive revenue space that we're going to play in the future, meaning mostly merchandise and intermodal, we've got to make sure we have a service product that's good for our customers, competitive with trucks, and ultimately can allow our customers and ourselves to grow as the economy expands.
Hey, what about, Frank, the elections that are coming up? And I'm just curious, you know, I'm looking at your coal exposure, you know, and that you guys have been working it down, but do you look at the election and the election outcome as something that could significantly impact your business?
You know, it's possible on the coal side. I mean, one of the things that we look for when any election comes up is a balanced policy framework, whether that's for the railroads, for American business, or for the coal industry. But our platform is largely red, white, and blue rather than red or blue. We're big on infrastructure investments. We certainly participate in that. We're good on American competitiveness in the business sector. We certainly want American companies to grow and to produce things that we move. And we want a healthy consumer. At the end of the day, two-thirds of GDP is consumption-based. And obviously, when the consumer feels good about the economy, they buy things at retail, they buy cars, they buy houses, and all of those things are areas of the economy that we participate in. So we're looking for an election outcome that supports those three things.
What are you seeing in terms of sort of the shift away from coal, and how is that affecting your business? Certainly on the cost side, it can't help.
Well, the coal business has been in secular decline since let's say, the mid-2000s, the first thing that really hit coal was the regulatory and the environmental policy side of things. And what's really driven it in the last few years has been low natural gas prices. You know, coal, yeah, in terms of Eastern utility coal, isn't really competitive until you get to about $3.50 per million BTU. That's the comparable natural gas price, and it's still below that. So you're seeing the impact of both regulation as well as fuel source substitution that's impacting coal. Our coal business was down 21% in the quarter. If you look at it on a dollars basis, if you added up the loss in 15 and the loss in 16, we'll lose about $1 billion of coal revenue in that period, which is why we're pulling so hard on the cost side. We've already delivered over $340 million in structural efficiencies this year, plus $200 million of cost savings initiatives that are related to volume declines.
Frank, thank you so much. We always appreciate you finding some time for us. Frank Lonegro, he's Executive Vice President, Chief Financial Officer at CSX. That stock is higher in the after hours. Stock is up 16.5% so far in 2016. That'll do it for this hour of Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser, Corey Johnson. Coming up, your top business stories. This is Bloomberg.